Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
So we're going to look in the book of Habakkuk, and this is a probably an Old Testament minor prophet that you don't use as well, don't use very well. And I have someone commenting that the sound is low. I do apologize about that. I can't do anything about that. You just have to turn your equipment up. I can't turn it up anymore. But Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, I know I'm going to give you a chance to do this. Look for that in your Bible. It is on your screen for your convenience, but those of you that bring your Bible like to highlight it, I'll give you an opportunity to do that, or if you have your phone. The book of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. If you find it, shout praise the Lord. It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Someone say, write the vision. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Someone say appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Now say, someone say wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. So tonight we're continuing with our series, The Four Dimensions of Extraordinary Leadership, with part 7. We're going to be talking about leading with all your strength. So take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity, as God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you. We're so thankful, Lord, for this privilege we have to be in your house. We ask that this word will go forth in power and demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And we give you all the glory and all the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, and everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. So I want to talk about strength in vision. We've got to find strength in vision. We've been teaching this, and it's been a couple of weeks since we've said this, but the difference between ordinary and extraordinary is simply what? It's the extra. That's right. And we are learning, and we have learned, that leadership is an invitation to greatness that we extend to others. And so how do we define extraordinary? Here's the definition of extraordinary. It's going beyond what is usual, regular, or customary. It's exceptional to a very marked extent. It's rare. It's uncommon. It's unique. And one of the, I think, the fundamental precept of this entire series is this thought. Is this fact that we must not overlook this, and I think this is important. When we read God's word, we always read how God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things in the lives of others. Now, the challenge of leadership is to be strong but not rude, be kind but not weak, be bold but not bully, be thoughtful but not lazy, be humble but not timid, be proud but not arrogant, have humor but without folly. Now, we begin in your papers. We'll talk about a little bit of this as we go. And I'll move a little faster tonight because we got quite a bit to cover. But Malcolm Gladwell wrote this. He said this. He said, the visionary starts with a clean sheet of paper. And I didn't have clean sheets of paper for you tonight, but this is the visionary. It starts with a clean sheet of paper and reimagine the world. And so the strength of a vision will either carry your team or it will break your team. The strength of the vision. And that's something that we need to hone on to tonight. If people can't see what God is doing, what happens? They stumble all over themselves. And when people attend to what God reveals, they are most blessed. And so, what verse in Proverbs does that sound like when we talk about vision? It's one of the most popular verses in the Bible when we preach on vision. It's Proverbs 29 and verse 18, where it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. I always like to reciprocate that scripture where there is no vision, the people perish. I always like to say where there's no people, the vision perishes. And so when there's leadership vacuums, when people begin to resign, people become apathetic or complacent, and they don't attend services, they don't feel their position and carry out the responsibility, what happens? Well, the vision of the church begins to vanish, and we don't want that to happen. So when we lose God's way, we stumble. When we lose God's way, we stumble. Bill Hybels, probably one of the greatest writers that I've always leaned on in church health, he writes this. He says, visions are holy commodities. Treat them with the utmost respect. And I believe that to be true. Two things that make a vision strong, and here they are. Number one is hope, and number two, potential. Hope and potential are the two things that make a strong vision. Casting a hope-filled vision provides strength for ourselves and those we lead. And strong visions help us see possibility and potential. I made a reference a couple of weeks ago about Brother Dale. And Brother Dale has a great, great gift in his life. And he's able to teach. And he's able to study. He's able to communicate. I brought this thought. I said, you know, maybe there's somebody that maybe didn't disagree or disagreed with some of his philosophy or disagreed some of his topics, and they began to, you know, not use him, or begin to say, oh well, I don't like what he had to say and I don't want to use him anymore. And so they miss out on the other attributes that Brother Dale carries, the potential and the hope. They miss out on that possibility that resides in his life. And so we got to be very cautious how we approach others when we're bringing them to on our team. Great leaders use their influence and power to help calm nerves and change people's perceptions by alleviating fears and providing hope. And hope is so important. Great leaders understand how to be a bridge from reality to possibility. From reality to possibility. And so leading with all of our strength means having confidence in the vision. Now let me ask you this question. Are you confident tonight in the vision, in your vision? I'm not talking necessarily about the vision of Gospel Lighthouse Church, but are you confident in your vision? Have you even done what Habakkuk said, write the vision, make it plain? Have you done that in your life? Those are important things to consider. You must be confident in the vision and in your belief that it is what God is calling your team to accomplish at this present time. You must be confident that the team and each individual can contribute to accomplishing this goal. And this has always been a red flag for me as a pastor when I'm inviting people to come on my team. It's not necessarily the gifts and the talents. That's great that they have that. But when the character, and especially when the faithfulness does not match up to what God says, that is a red flag to me. In other words, if I can't count on a person, if I've asked a person, I need you to come and do something for me, and that falls through and it doesn't work, and I forgive, and I go on and say, well, maybe there's something personally going on in their life, and then you ask that person again, and it just continues to become a revolving door in their life, that's a red flag for me, and that tells me that person is a possibility they are not contributing. They're not who God maybe need that I need in on our team. And so that's very important for us to look at that. Now, I've talked to the board before years ago. I said, hey, I appreciate, you know, they would give us, you know, bonuses and different things. And I said, I appreciate all that, you know, you guys do. But I said, I want you to remember this. This is a concept that is biblical. You don't reward people because of their gifts and their abilities and their talent. You don't reward people just because of their skill set. You reward people because of their faithfulness. That is biblical. And I've always tried to teach on faithfulness. You reward people because people are faithful. And this is what God says. This is what the Bible teaches. That in the last days, Jesus is going to say, enter thou in, thou good and faithful servant. He's not saying enter thou in because you've been prophesying or you've been writing books or you've been doing all these things, winning all these souls and having all this power and authority. That has nothing to do with it. You must be faithful to God. Amen? And so this brings me to our life point. And I did cover, you must be confident that the team and each individual can contribute to accomplishing this goal. So I didn't want to get too far ahead. But our life point is this. Don't champion a vision you don't believe in. Don't champion a vision you don't believe in. And so there have been times in my life, in the years of ministry, that people have come to me and they said, hey, we should do this and we do that. And I'm like, okay, we'll just let me pray about it and see if this is exactly what God wants. And there's some times that, hey, it's exactly what God wants to do. Let's do it. We jump in. We've been successful. And then there's been some times that people said, we should do this. We should do that. And it just wasn't the right fit. It wasn't not necessarily a wrong thing, but it just wasn't the right timing or the right fit. And so what would happen is that I said, hey, I jump on that bandwagon with them and I say, okay, we'll do it, because I'm trying to please them. And when I begin to do that, I'm just casting and spreading and spending a bunch of energy in a useless manner. And so we don't want to do that. We don't want to champion a vision that we don't believe in. And so God's word is our strength in our weakness. How many are thankful for that today? I'm thankful that in my weakness, God's strength is made perfect. Look at our scripture, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, I will stand upon my watch and see me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me, and look what he says. He says, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables, and he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So there's three important things from these verses that we have to do, and you need to write these down. Number one, we need to write the vision. We must write the vision. Number two, we must make it plain that we're understanding, right? Understanding, make it plain. And then number three is understand the vision is for an appointed time. It's for appointed time, the right season, the right time. There's no time like the right time when it comes with God. Thank God for that. So here he has the story. The story is this. The people of Judea were being punished by the wicked Babylonians, and Habakkuk didn't understand why God was allowing it. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever had a season in your life and you're wondering, why am I going through so many tests and trials? And why is God allowing these circumstances in my life? This is exactly what was happening with Habakkuk and the people of Judea. And so Habakkuk positioned and pleaded with God for answers. And I think we've all been there before. Habakkuk knew that as a leader, he was powerless to give a vision of hope to the people of Judea on his own. And so the strength of the vision came from the creator of the vision. And that's something I always want us to realize. I mean, I want to establish a vision that God has for Gospel Lighthouse Church, but I want to establish it his way. He is the creator. I don't want to do something that somebody else is doing or trying to follow somebody else's lead. I want to follow God's lead. Habakkuk understood that his role was to be the conveyor of the vision and not the creator. And there lies the important part of our leadership. Understanding that God is the creator. See, I water and I plant, but it's God that gives the increase. And I'm grateful to remember that. And as leaders, we must remember that our primary purpose is to carry out the piece of God's great vision that we've been entrusted with. And so we have this obligation to carry the gospel. We have this obligation to carry the five internal principles of the church, to carry the fellowship, to carry the ministry, to carry the evangelism, to carry the worship, to carry the discipleship, carry these things, carry and help people understand that we're here to carry out what God wants us to carry out. So this brings me to our life point one more time. Don't champion a vision you don't believe in. Okay? So four things leaders of strong vision need. Here they are. Number one, we all need courage. Everybody say courage. It takes courage to lead toward vision. It takes courage. Visions are carried out by teams that believe they can achieve them. Visionaries are on the front end of the law of diffusion of innovation. Okay, they are the ones that are innovating, using creativity, achieving these things, and it's because they are courageous. Number two is patience and endurance. Everybody say patience and endurance. Patience and endurance. If courage gets you started, it is patience and endurance that see you through to a realized vision. All right? So you've been courageous and you stood in front of the people and said, hey, this is what we're going to do. And not everybody's going to get it at once. Not everybody's going to run with a vision at once. Not everybody's going to be on board. And then you just times that you got to be patient with people and convince people to buy into this vision that you have, that God has given you. And then you got to endure it. You've got to endure it. You know, think of Moses. Moses, possibly the greatest leader in human history. He's leading 3 million people out of Egypt, and he's into the desert, to the wilderness, and he's leading these Hebrews who are at many times ungrateful, right? And yet Moses is still trying to lead them, and there's a time that they want to go back. They want to go back to Egypt. They didn't like what was happening, and so Moses had to be patient, had to endure the things. And this is what Hebrews 10 and 36 says. It says, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Does that sound familiar? This is exactly what God was saying to Habakkuk. He says, you've got to write the vision, you've got to make it plain, and you've got to wait on me. You've got to wait on me because I'm going to bring it to pass. Number three is conviction. Everybody say conviction. Conviction is the mark of a true vision. In fact, conviction puts teeth on a passion. And it's sad to say today, but many people do not live according to their convictions anymore. And when you do that, you cause a visible breach on your team or in your organization. Number four is focus. Everybody say focus. Visionary leaders need focus to stay committed to living out the vision. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, neighbor, your focus needs focus, right? Your focus needs more focus. So conviction provides the focus. Stay focused. Stay focused. Our life point again is don't champion a vision you don't believe in. So a strong vision will, number one, protect and propel momentum. And number two, it will inspire the team. A strong vision removes friction and enables momentum. And when a vision is reinforced with action, momentum builds. Great vision inspires others. And I love that. I love that thought. You know, it's amazing how God uses Gospel Lighthouse Church in unique ways. And I was thinking the other day about us back in the spring. I guess it was last year when we did the prayer walk. And I thought how unique that was. I had no idea why God wanted us to do that until several weeks later, or actually it was about a week later, why God would want us to go out and to make connections with the community leaders and get with the mayor's office and say, this is what we're planning to do. And all we want to do is to walk and pray around our neighborhood. And it seems a little, you know, maybe it seems a little bizarre to some people, but that's what we felt like we needed to do. And it was amazing to see the entire congregation come together. And there was nobody complaining. There was nobody, out of sorts. Everybody just jumped on and said, let's do that. And it was just a very beautiful time when we had all of us walking around and praying. And I brought my golf cart for like Sister Charlotte and myself. Wasn't able to do much walking, and I saw some of the gentlemen, they had their canes with them, and they still walked, and they still prayed, and then a week later, there was a shooting just right over here, exactly where we had marched and prayed, and thank God that God protected that situation, and that person was not injured in that shooting. And I'm going to tell you something, there is power in prayer, but do you realize there's also power in obedience? And when we understand that great vision inspires others, it began to inspire people. And people were beginning, hey, I believe in the power of prayer. And I believe walking in my neighborhood. I believe praying over the area of my influence. So there's four dangers of strength, and that we need to address these. Number one, it's not addressing the questions. The stronger your team, the more opinionated its members will be, and the more questions they'll want answered. Do we have any opinionated people in this room? Don't have to raise your hand, because I already know who you are. The stronger your team, the more opinionated you become. Strong visionary leaders must remember that vision leaks. What's the old saying? Loose lips sink ships, right? Loose lips sink ships. Well, strong visionary leaders must remember that even vision leaks. Visionary leaders look for every opportunity to connect the team's everyday work to the big picture of the vision ahead. And sometimes we can allow leakage to get out and not take care of the certain things that we need to take care of. Number two, charisma. Charisma rather than vision. Casting vision is not about simply being a cheerleader. With vision without action create pipe dreams, right? Visionary leaders are not only dreamers, they are doers too. Visionary leaders repeatedly remind those they lead of where they are going and why, and develop the plans for follow-through. And so this is kind of amazing how this worked out. It was in the year 2009, I believe it was, 2009. I don't even remember. It's been so long ago. And I was in Little Rock in a motel, and I was in prayer. And I don't even remember why we were there. But God began to give me 10 things, a list of 10 things. And I thought, what is this? I had no idea what they were and what they meant. Just I got up early in the morning in prayer, and I wrote these 10 things down. And it turned out that those 10 things that God gave me were actually the 10 big 10 core values for Gospel Lighthouse Church. I wasn't even the pastor at Gospel Lighthouse Church when God gave me those things. And now we are utilizing the big 10 core values in our ministry here at Gospel Lighthouse. And so I thought that was just amazing how God can do these things and create these things. And I love that that he's able to do these things. And so visionary leaders repeatedly remind, and that's why the 10 big 10 core values are put up in the hallways at Gospel Lighthouse Education Building, is to remind. When you walk by, you see family. When you walk by, you see worship. When you walk by, you see all of these core values. And I think those are important. It's just kind of reiterating why we're here and what we are doing. Number three, succumbing to fear, doubt, and worry. Now, this is a strength eater. Fear, doubt, and worry. When you succumb to those things, I like what Mark Miller writes. He says, fear has stolen the future of countless leaders. A fear of failure, a fear of the unknown, even a fear of the responsibility that comes with leadership. You know, one thing that I know, Sister Janie, is a lot of times when I approach somebody in the next next week or two, I feel like I'm going to approach some people about certain things in our church. But I've always known this, is that when I ask somebody, the reason they back out is because of fear of failure. It's not that they don't want to do it. They feel like, hey, that'd be an awesome opportunity to do this. But they feel like, what if I fail? That is a big hurdle that we all have to approach and come. When I was called to pastor down south, obviously I had to fight those demonic powers of fear, because fear is not of God. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And so we must understand that. Number four, casting your vision instead of God's vision. Had a lady approach me when I first came on board as a senior lead pastor. She doesn't attend here anymore. In fact, I think she's passed away. And a beautiful, wonderful, sweet lady. But she came to me and asked me a question. She said, are you casting your vision or are you casting God's vision? And I understood where she was coming from. And thank God I had a little bit of background. I've been pastoring for quite a long, before I even came here, and seen quite a bit of things. And I let her know. I said, listen, I am casting the vision of God. It's not necessarily the vision of the house or the vision of the people. It is God's vision. That is the vision that I'm interested in. The prophet Nathan jumping the gun and telling King David to go ahead and build the temple is a great example of casting a vision that wasn't God's vision. The Ark of the Covenant remaining in a tent seemed like the wrong place for it, but it wasn't God's plan for King David to build the temple, but it was God's plan for King David's offspring to build it, right? It can be a dangerous thing to assume our ministry leadership initiatives are God's plan and direction, because they are good and honorable things, when in fact we have not sought God's direction and may actually be leading people toward our vision rather than a God-directed one. I heard a pastor say this afternoon in my time of study and devotion, he was talking about when Peter was asleep, and sometimes the church is asleep, and when you are asleep, you begin to build the wrong things. We've got to awaken ourselves to God. Life Point, don't champion a vision you don't believe in. So without a vision, what happens? We flounder. Followers need someone and something to follow. Young leaders today don't feel like they have time to waste on routine work. They will find someone else with a greater vision if you can't provide them with one. And that's what's happening in the church today. So four ways to seek out the strength of the vision. Number one, seek God for the vision. Everybody say, seek God. Number two, think strategically. Number three, be the chief reminding officer. Number four, avoid the whirlwind. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? Our life point again is don't champion a vision that you don't believe in. So my question tonight is this: how is your vision? How is your vision? Is your vision fuzzy? Is your vision clear? Is your vision blurred? Do you have double vision? Ooh, that's something to think about. Are you conveying your vision or God's vision? You know, when you have double vision, you're sometimes going to opposite directions. You know, double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Not just part of his ways, but all his ways. So a life point is don't champion a vision you don't believe in. So how do I apply this to my life? So what, now what? Don't champion a vision you don't believe in. So to truly make a healthy application of this message, to make a pure and healthy application, we must be able to execute our vision in spite of any opposition or lack of interest on the team. Sister Linda Merrick, I was about 15 years old, somewhere around then, when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. The evidence of speaking in tongues. It was at a little Assembly of God church in Colony, Oklahoma. My mother and my stepdad are buried right up the road from them, from that church. And I'll never forget how I felt. It was amazing. It was like everything was brighter. The grass was greener. Things were just amazing. I'll never forget this. But, and it was truly God. I mean, it was all God. And we had a little meeting after the service. It was on a Sunday night after the service. And they wanted, because I was a musician and I was in the band and I could play the guitar, they wanted me to stay for the service. And they began to talk. And I love this because they began to include me in their conversation. And they were talking about praise and worship. Basically, back then, it wasn't praise and worship. It was singing out of the hymn. You might remember singing out of the hymnals. I love singing out of the hymnals. And so they were talking about, well, how do you everybody be on the same page? And in that little meeting, I'll never forget this, there was one person that was not interested in being there. They wanted that person to be there. And I was like sitting on the edge of my seat. I was like, yeah, I'm grateful to be included. I want to be a part of this. But there was one person that just wasn't interested, ready to go, ready to leave. You'll always have those people in the church. You'll always have people that are just not interested. They want to come, they want to hear the message, and then they want to leave. They're not interested in doing anything else. You'll always have that. So you have to navigate through personalities that people have. And so to keep your head and your heart connected to the vision, you have to create ways to cast vision to yourself repeatedly. I say, Sister Michelle, every day, sometimes twice a day, I say the family declaration. I say it to me, and it's just repeating it over and over. I have it memorized, and I say it all the time. And I think with Scripture, you should do that. Repeating the Scripture. Always, memorizing the word and saying it over and over. There's power in your words. And so there's three ways to keep the vision connected to you. Number one is prayer. Number two, testimonies. And number three, mentors. And Seth Godin, a writer, says the secret of leadership is simple. Do what you believe in. paint a picture for the future or of the future. Go there and people will follow. And my prayer is that that will happen. Finally, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. This is probably one of Brother Dale's favorite scriptures. He uses it quite often. He says, finally, my brother, be strong. Everybody say strong. How are we to be strong? In the Lord. Not in yourself, not in your own strength, but be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And so that this brings me to the culmination of this message and this application. What if we all determine tonight to do this before we leave? I'm determined tonight to be strong in the Lord and a power of His might. What if that will be your number one focus? I know we're talking about vision. I know gave you a lot of information and you guys kept up. I'm really proud of you for doing that. But how about we pause for a moment and reflect on this scripture? Before I leave, I want to determine in my heart and in my mind, because we're talking about strength of the vision, I'm going to be strong in the Lord, and I want to be strong in the power of His might. So how about that would affect us? Well, praise God. I know it's going to make a difference in our life. Let's all stand together. Don't champion a vision you don't believe in. Let's ask God's blessings upon this word, upon our lives, and upon this time that we have together. Father, You've spoken to us. You've given us a lot of information. You've taught us out of Habakkuk. You taught us about writing the vision, importance of making it clear, importance of waiting on You. And so, Father, there's a lot of information that was given, and sometimes it can be an overload. So we've come to this conclusion tonight that we're not going to operate in our own strength, but we're going to operate in Your strength. So we're asking You, Father, give us Your strength. I know it's available. Your word's available. Even in our weakness, Your strength is made perfect. And the Apostle Paul said, therefore, he gladly rejoices in his infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon us. And let the power of Christ rest upon us tonight. And we thank You for it. And we give You all the glory and all the honor in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen and amen. Thank you for being here tonight.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.